You notice that the NES and the LES both did most of the work, and that there was little. I don't know. I didn't. Every time I went through there, I saw maybe one or two volunteers observing, but the work was being done by Les and our local election supervisor.
Right, and they had their hooked into a computer, and I mean, unless you sat right over their shoulder and, you know, tried to figure out what they were doing, you were just in the room looking at two people looking into a computer.
They could do it, most of it, all themselves, just the two people.
That's what they did.
It took them almost a week to finish.
Wow. Did they try to get volunteers?
No.
Huh.
This is Yosh. I can report that in Los Angeles we did it quite differently. We had sometimes more than a dozen volunteers in the room, in the balloting room, down to a low of maybe 4 or 5 volunteers. So the volunteers did nearly all of the heavy lifting. I guess when it came to cleaning up the ballots, that was done by the software guy. Maybe Bonnie can remind me of his name. Bay Area.
Hate me.
Bang or Bing or something like that.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Bing is, you're really Bing. Close. I'm sorry.
I think it was Bing or something like that. Anyway, Bing was very good on the computer. Of course, he developed the software for us. And but he was on one screen, and we were on the other screen. And, you know, we would point out errors to him, and then Bing would clean up the errors. And then when all the observers, and there might be 4 or 5 around a screen, there are always at least 2 observers, sometimes 4 or 5 observers on the other screen. And then we would tell Bing that, yeah, we're all of us are satisfied with the changes that he had made, and then we would go on to the next ballot.
Wow. Well, that's so much more democratic than what we experienced, don't you think, Jim?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's unfortunate that you folks out at W didn't have more sufficient volunteers. You should have had at least a second screen, and you should have had at least 2 or 3 observers watching what Bing was doing to rectify any, overreads or underreads.
Right.
We had volunteers that helped the first day with opening the envelopes and all that stuff and scanning them.
We didn't have, we didn't have that. I never saw that. I mean, no.
No, we did have a couple of volunteers helping to open them and so forth. That was on the first day, I think. At one point when I went through there was 2 people in there helping. But that was like, maybe 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and that was only one day, and I didn't see it again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think next time maybe, especially at W, the LES is going to have to put out the word and say, hey, please come out and volunteer. I need volunteers to help with the opening up the ballots and the scanning, and especially to look over the shoulder of the technician as he or she cleans up any overreads or underreads.
It was
yeah.
So that the only way we could actually see what was going on and what ballots they were cleaning up and so forth, we had to look over their shoulders.
Right, and the room was small, and it was almost like you were interfering. Not that you were a part of it, but you were interfering. Not that anyone said that. I'm not trying to say that, but because of the closeness of the room and the fact that they, whatever they were saying it to each other, and they were pointing and everything. We were at best observers in a very tight situation.
This is Bill again. I know. Well, candidates weren't supposed to touch the ballots at all, but you know they could observe, and I am surprised that your LES didn't, like Josh was saying, didn't ask for volunteers. I mean, ours did, and a number of people responded. Turned out they didn't need a whole lot, but and then at the end of the, after all the ballots were scanned, then our LES was the one who actually went through, you know, looking at each one to make sure that it looked like the way that the software had you know, the scanning software had come up with a ballot ranking. So to just mostly verify the software, and she looked at every one of them, but that took a while.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not saying that she never asked for volunteers. I'm just saying that she never got any and did not ask for them at in a way that she could get more, because we have a lot of listeners that love our station and would have come down to volunteer, but they were not really brought into the process the way that they might have been.
Okay. So more better outreach for volunteers is needed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, any other questions or anything else for WPFW?
Okay. Hold on just a minute.
Okay.
I'm going through, I'm just quickly scanning through some letters that were written, where people were making suggestions. And I just have to close this one and open up another one. This is what I was, part of what I was trying to send to you all. Sorry about this. Jim, did
yeah.
you, I know I got it out to you.
If you can send it to me, I can send it to the rest.
I did send it to you.
You did tonight?
Mm. Yep.
Now look.
It is, hold on. Because we had a lot of problems. That's the only reason I'm trying to take the time to do this.
Yeah.
Well, you know, let me just mention that, I mean, nobody from WBI is on the call either, for example. So we're going to, I'll probably have to send out requests that from everybody that can be on the call to send in any, a list of anything that noticed that, you know, that we should do better on next year with any recommendations. I'd like to compile all this, and hopefully Les Radke will have a lot of this or most of it, or and or the our local election supervisors. But I want to make sure we note these things, and if some of these things that happened at multiple stations, the LASs won't know about. Les Radke may be the only one, or us. Like if some of these things happened at different. But the same thing happened in different places.
Bill, this is Yosh. May I
yeah.
suggest that we devise our own list and, you know, kind of double-check the NES-LES list, because the
yeah.
both of them have got a vested interest in looking good or making the election look good, whereas, you know, they have a slight conflict of interest in reporting problems.
I know we've had that situation before, where sometimes the reports don't necessarily recognize where the problem
yeah,
is or
well,
resolve. Okay,
I was your NES this year, and boy, we had the greatest smoothest election ever. Don't forget
yeah.
to vote for. Don't forget to hire me next time.
Yeah. Although I must say, from what I've heard so far from Les Radke, is he does not seem to be trying to blame other people. But
no, it's not a question of blame.
So,
it's a question
yeah.
of, you know, reporting all the
yeah.
problems that
yeah.
you're aware of.
Right.
Instead of,
yeah, we need to do that.
You know, under the carpet.
Honestly, recognize what went wrong so we can try to do better next time.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I hope Yosh, when he sends out the minutes, can
get
this. I've been taking a lot of notes too, and so I'll compare and I'll add whatever I have, and then we'll send it out to everybody so we can try to come up with a complete list.
Here's another situation that happened at our station, because we have a interim general manager.
Yes.
And in one of our meetings, you know, the whole thing was, you know, could we get Quam? And in one of our meetings, he actually wrote down, well, first of all, he said that he was, you know, not a part of this election process. You know, he was hands-off, right? And then he says, we've reached quorum. And 3 days later, the local election supervisor is still saying we haven't reached quorum. But he's saying 3 days earlier that we have reached quorum.
Right.
And, you know, there were little things like that that really cast a shadow of, you know, in discredibility to the election process, because you're either going to be a part of it and you're not supposed to be, but or you're not, and giving out misinformation like that did not help the fact that there were people who felt that they shouldn't be running that were running, and that people hadn't received their ballots, and you know, all of this. And then somebody says, you know, who's running the station says, oh, well, you know, we're satisfied. We've reached quorum. And then Lydia, 3 days later, is saying, we need just three or four more ballots and we'll have quorum. And, you know, you're just going like, what is this? This is like a clown show. And it should never have that kind of, you know, that kind of thing. And
yeah, this was broadcast on the air also, the conflict of information? Or just at meetings, but...
Well, no, it was at an LSB meeting.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So,
well...
So those lines of... those positions should be clearly delineated in terms of, are you, you know, not having, you know, be hands-off of the election, and that that kind of information should only come from the local election supervisor.
Right.
Not from anyone else. And again, what are the consequences if it does? Because if there are no consequences, then, you know, you're just, you know, making up stuff, and it'd be nice if you follow it, but if you don't, then you don't.
Yeah.
And I think we need to think about that, because to me, and you guys don't know me, but, and I don't know you, but to me, what we're talking about is democracy, and democracy not just at Pacifica, but democracy how we want it to be expressed in the world, in this country, in our country, and in the world. And we're a microcosm of that. And if we take it lightly, or if we're not willing to fight for it, and I don't mean in a negative way, but I mean take a stance for it and say, no, we have to have listeners who are involved at this level, and we have to run our elections fairly, because if we can't run our elections fairly, then how can we expect, you know, elections to be run fairly? And that's part of what we stand on.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
And your point for recommendation for the future is that the GM or other station staff shouldn't be talking about the elections if they're not absolutely sure that the information is correct. Or they should get it from they should let the local election supervisor provide updates. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yes, I'm saying that there should be a clear it should be made clear who can make, you know, determine when quorum is reached, and, you know, who can talk about it.
Yeah.
I mean, because when you come to an LSB meeting and say it, it's not like, you know, saying it to the guy standing next to you in the John. It becomes a matter of record, and people are beginning to act on it, and you see what I'm saying? So it carries a different kind of weight.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
And if you don't know, then, well, first of all, should you be saying it at all? And second of all, if you don't know, you really shouldn't be saying it at all.
Yeah, okay. Right, should be spreading misinformation.
So it should be clear who can and cannot be involved in the election process.
Okay, good point. Any other questions or for Jim or Evelyn? Okay. Does anybody know anything else about WBII other than what's kind of been? I know they completed their election counting, and but nobody's from the, on the call from there, I don't believe, right?
No. No, I don't know anything. I know the election is complete, but I don't know what.
Yeah. Well, you know, the results are all posted on the Pacifica website, if you're curious about individuals who won. But
and we know that there were a lot of serious problems up there, but
serious.
See how they were handled,
right.
And
right.
The results were, I don't know.
Okay. Anyway, all right. Well, I guess we'll just have to, I'll email out a note. I guess if, I don't know if you'll have time to compile minutes in the next few days, Yosh, but I can add my note.
Be Wednesday or Thursday.
Okay. Well, I don't think a whole lot's going to happen this week, anyway, I suspect, but I'll add my stuff from my notes to whatever Yosh sends out, and then we'll ask everybody, including people not on the call tonight, to see if they can add anything else that happened at their station, or particularly recommendations for next year's elections that we should include in a report.
I have a question. This is Revelyn.
Yes.
Why are the ballots so complicated?
Complicated in which way?
Well, you vote for a person, and then you have to vote for where in your, you know, do you want them number 1 or number 18 or, you know.
Well, our bylaws specify that the voting's by single transferable voting, where you rank the candidates. And so that's specified in our bylaws. The purpose is to provide a form of proportional representation so that a simple majority can't control every seat on the LSB. That's the main reason for that.
But how does that ensure?
I don't know if anybody have a reference we can refer to. You know, actually, you can if you go to Wikipedia and just look up single transferable voting. They have a pretty good description of that. There's different forms of proportional voting. This is just one of them, but this is the one that's specified in our bylaws. And I think it mentions the pros and cons of this form of voting.
Okay,
go to Wikipedia.
Because, and the reason I'm asking is I understand single transferable voting, but when a lot of people picked up the ballot and looked at it, they didn't really understand it. And so when they started voting, they didn't necessarily... They didn't vote with the understanding of how the ballots worked.
Right.
Well, did your local election supervisor or during election forums on the air, did they explain this on the air on WPFW?
I never heard it explained. Did you, Jim?
If they did, I didn't hear it. I'm not saying they didn't, but I didn't hear it.
I didn't hear it either. And it's so unusual. It's so unlike all the other times you might, for instance, go to the polls and vote, that it warrants explanation. I mean, you finally get a chance to vote, and you pick up this thing, and it has, like, you know, 200 squares on it, and, you know, and 18 names, and it goes, you know, across ad infinitum. And so... You know, people just, Some of them I know were thrown out because people, you know, voted for people incorrectly. They, you know, put the check in the wrong mark or whatever. So I think that we need to revisit that and have some sort of protocol for letting people know how to do it and not assume that that they know.
Okay. Well, I'm a little surprised, I guess, that your LES didn't announce more explanations on the air. But anybody else have any suggestions for this?
No, but I have a comment about it.
Okay.
I don't really know that the air of our radio stations is the proper or most effective way to be getting information out about STV voting. I honestly think that what we, for the most part, hope that we can ask of our listeners is that they listen to our radio stations and get something worthwhile out of them and learn something about their world, and then sometimes even send us donations. I was horrified by the amount of announcements, candidate statements, candidate forums. We were inundated on the air.
Yep.
With, and frankly, it does not lend itself to what my job as a staff programmer is, which is to try to entice people to listen to KPFA and stay with us and enjoy what they hear. For the most part, I think when one of those forums or an hour of an election supervisor talking about our internal elections comes on the air, I think the loudest noise you hear is the sound of people changing to another station. And I think that there's a small number of people who are very, very interested in every intricate turn of our elections. But those are the people that already know the ins and outs of it. And I just, you know, I don't know the solution because we're in this governance situation. But I honestly feel that we do ourselves a great service by trying to shove this down people's throats. That's what I think.
And how many candidates did you have, Bonnie?
30-some, I think.
Yeah, that is a lot of airtime, I guess, for all that.
Oh, it was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of candidate statements, many of them extremely derogatory toward the station.
Wow.
And the staff. It's an interesting conundrum.
I have to beg to differ a little bit. I don't think you can accuse candidates of making statements derogatory toward the staff. I mean, they were two different camps, you know, at the KPFA.
I make the statement that it was derogatory about the radio station and our success as a radio station.
Yeah, I would have to disagree with that as well. It's about the direction of the station. And, just for the record, so it's known that...
No, I understand that. And I'm happy to qualify it. If I heard derogatory material about the staff, it was during forums on the air. Maybe not in candidates' statements, but there was a lot of down talking about the station and what we've been able to accomplish and whether our listener base has, you know, gone down and how we're not fundraising as much as we were. And I mean, it's just nightmarish to me. If I were to completely remove myself from any involvement in KPFA and just be listening to a radio station, I wouldn't want to hear that. It doesn't leave anyone a good taste in their mouth. And I don't know how people can imagine that that's what they should be putting forward when they're running for a position to try to protect and serve the foundation.
Well, without defending every word of everybody's statement, the intent is to point out that there are different approaches to what the station, different ideas on what the station ought to be doing, and hence different ideas on how well it's doing. And it's up to the voters, hopefully, a good chunk of them, to decide if they like the status quo or they want to see some changes. So,
well, I guess this is something to think about. If there's a way of encouraging candidates to avoid turning off listeners, I guess. I'm not sure how to say this, but...
Candidates.
Well, I mean, not to lay it completely in the candidate's lap, we were mandated, essentially, by the ED, the IED, to run an enormous amount of election material on the air,
mm-hmm.
with no understanding of what that does to the ability of people on the air to try to maintain a listenership. I mean, it's just really down the rabbit hole.
Well, may I also say, I feel you, Bonnie, is that right? Your name, Bonnie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel what you're saying, and I think part of the issue with this is that somehow or another, because it becomes an election, there's no creativity to it, so that, you know, it's just a sort of endless stream of talk, and it has almost like the same rhythm, because what you're really saying is vote for me.
Right.
And
of course.
And you know what I mean? And it is boring is the word. Unless you're one of those people who is waiting for your statement to be aired, because it's not coupled with anything
right.
that includes it.
Right.
So what I think our job is, and it is not a job that really is particular only to the station, it's particularly to the governmental elections. That's why they have so many scandals and stuff like that around elections, because it's the only way to get people interested. But
what we need.
Hey! But you hear me. You know what I mean. It needs to be lifted out of the pit that it's now in, and it needs to be energized, and people need to find a way. You know, feel proud that yeah, I can vote for this, and not be hit over the head with the you know, the drudges of yet another candidate statement. I mean, and Jim said something that was really true. You know, our statements weren't aired regularly, but on the other hand, you know, they needed to be, because we were up against the fund drive also, you know, you have people begging for money and then people begging for votes all at the same time.
Yep.
It was a little bit overwhelming. So I think we, as an election committee, need to make suggestions and find ways to improve the electoral process, and that includes letting people understand about the ballot. Because, you know, not only do you hear all this, then you pick up this piece of paper and you go, what the hell is this?
Yeah,
you know?
I think that, I guess the only suggestion that I can think of, and it's really in desperation to try to get some of this removed from the air itself, because the air simply is not a good delivery system for this kind of information. You don't listen to the radio staring at the radio with a pen and a piece of paper in your hand, taking notes on how to go about reading, you know, a really tiny printed ballot with so much information on it, that every one of our stations, I know that this is the fact at KPFA because I was one of the people opening ballots, there were a lot of people that didn't understand the ballot, and they voted, you know, for all the people, all number one.
Right.
Or voted for everybody number seven, you know, or, you know, I mean, people obviously have trouble figuring it out. If we can try to, you know, try to utilize our web presence in a better way and be able to send people to the web sometimes.
Yes.
Rather than putting these, I mean, we were doing forums that were 5 hours long on the air.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
It was crazy.
Oh.
With 5 or 6 candidates an hour for 5 hours.
Oh, no.
And, you know, I didn't actually look at our web stats during that, but I guarantee you they were pretty slim.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and you're not accomplishing your goal if nobody's going to listen to it. And people were making jokes about how the second that they would hear a candidate statement come on, they knew that they could, you know, run to the next room and, you know, take care of something else because they just couldn't sit through it again.
Right.
Okay.
Nor should they.
So let me just clarify. Okay, for recommendations, then, Bonnie, you're suggesting we...
That we
send more people to the website for information on candidates as well as on how to vote, how to complete ballots?
I guess so, but that we really, but it's more than that, Bill. It's rethinking.
Yes.
It's rethinking who we're speaking to and how we're trying to reach them and what we're asking of them. And it's rethinking. I just think that the whole election policy that came out this year with all of this onus laid on the stations to be putting all of this stuff on the air really needs to be looked at. And it really should have the input from management and people who work at the stations because it came out of nowhere.
And listeners, because...
Just so that there's some understanding of what you're subjecting people to, because we're not accomplishing what we're trying to accomplish by subjecting people to anything.
Right.
Okay. So we should get more input from station management and from listeners, you're saying?
Yeah, you're such a politic person. Thanks, Bill.
Well, I'm just trying to, I'm thinking what do we want to put in a report for recommendations?
I appreciate letting me rant, you know, I suppose that would be fine.
All right. Anybody else have suggestions along these lines?
But, you know, may I just say something? And I know there's you want to move on and write down things, but I just want to go back and say, you know, please think about, give some internal thought and challenge ourselves to come up with some really activating questions that will break open this process, because this process will, if it's not fixed, it'll be part of our downfall, because it has to go on because that's how Pacific is set up. But if it doesn't, you know, find a better way for expression, then it's going to continue to turn people off and more, and it's not going to work. We're right at a point where we could come up with some, you know, not just statistics or, you know, just, you know, but, you know, taking it in a fuller direction, taking it in a more meaningful direction, a direction that really touches listeners. And it... You know, I don't know that it can just be a suggestion that you can come up with today, but I'm just asking us to think about, because we will meet another time, and think about how we could reshape this and then present that also along with our concrete little suggestions that we've come up with.
Okay, let me just a clarification. You said we should challenge ourselves to come up with good questions. No, questions for whom or what kind?
We should challenge ourselves to come up with deeper deeper questions about what is the election process and how we can pull listeners into it, because
okay.
It's this process is for our listeners and for our staff. But the listeners listen to the programmers. So if they're not involved, if they don't get it, if they misunderstand it, and we continue to talk over their heads and around them, and you know, we get it and they don't, then we're just not serving our purpose
okay.
and our mission.
Got it. Okay, good, thanks. Okay, well, let me let some other people see if they have questions or want to comment.
Yes.
Anybody else on the call?
No, I have. I just ran across a short minute and 28 second video that just demonstrates how to mark the ballot, but that's not explaining STV in a broader sense.
It's in
okay.
Wikipedia.
Yeah, I forget.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, we could create one.
Yeah, it is getting late.
Yeah.
Anybody, you, Jim, or anybody else, if you want to send us all suggestions like that, let's email it to the PAC Elections list. Let's share what we can come up with and compile things for people to think about. And we can't really decide on anything tonight because we don't have quorum, but we can collect ideas. And I hope we can come up with something that we can then discuss and decide next month.
Okay.
Does that sound reasonable, everyone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I promise not to rant, could I bring up one other thing that I thought of?
Well, if it's quick, because it is late. We
be
we
really
started late, but yeah.
Because I think this committee even investigated it and was in favor of it. I wish that we would really seriously consider next time not sending a, you know, 20 to 30 page campaign statement booklet
Aye.
To listeners, to every listener.
Thank you.
And this network is in such terrible financial condition right now, and we could save thousands of dollars by not sending them out and by having them on websites and getting them to people, you know, with the proviso that if somebody really doesn't have access to the web and really wants one, we could mail them one. But I wish we would really investigate that again.
Thank you. I agree. Okay. Well, we can go back and look at our list of recommendations that we were going to do earlier this year, too, and I guess repeat some of them. Okay, so I guess we'll I'll send out a note confirming that making sure, or asking for any problems with January 18th, and asking people to send in their comments. And after Yosh finishes the minutes, I'll add whatever I've got. I've been writing them a lot of notes, but they're really hard to read right now, and I'll add what I've got, and then I'll ask everybody else to send in your ideas too. Is that reasonable, everybody?
Yes.
Sounds good.
Sounds good. I hope everybody has a nice holiday break.
Yes.
Thanks.
Yes.
Enjoy. Enjoy the holidays. Happy New Year. Happy new LSB members. Happy new everything.
Happy termed off members.
Yes.
Yes.
Hang in there until we've
for 6 years.
Hang in there until you get your replacement on the committees.
Okay. Good night, everyone.
Okay.
Good night.
Thanks. Good night. Happy New Year.
Good night, all.